spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, there's no question. BK, Cody, and Jake, man, they weren't lying. It's like a meat locker in here. It's nice and cold. I'm glad I brought a heavy jacket. Studio is, the AC's working. Let's just leave it at that, right? Andrew Carlson behind the glass. Big day for him on a Tuesday. But, you know, we don't take any gruff from him because his team is number one in the Premier League. He's living large. And I watched him go through all these tough years. So I'm glad to talk some Arsenal tonight. We're going to have some fun with that. I think the first thing, though, is to put this radio show in context here tonight. You know, we are all thinking about Pasadena and the Deer Park area after that tornado ripped through. All I can go off is what I've seen and heard. So hoping everybody down there in that area, very influential area of our city, hoping they're all okay. All right, soccer talk tonight. Beyond your wildest dreams. That's where we're going tonight. We're going beyond your wildest dreams. Music, interviews, former Stoke, U.S. men's national team. Jeff Cameron's on the show tonight. We'll have Asher Mendelson, the Dynamo technical director. Going to ask him about a lot of the incoming players, how effective some of these new playmaking types can be. We'll ask him about the academy tonight, the new deal they have with a data company that they're very excited about as they layer out more of the competitive side of this team that the Dynamo have been playing catch-up for many, many years. So we'll go over that. We'll talk about the left-back position, if Brad Smith is going to be ready for opening day. So a lot with Asher Mendelson. That'll be in the second hour. Jeff Cameron will join us live at 8 Central. And you can call in tonight at 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. We have the Arsenal result to talk about over Manchester United. We will talk about the U.S. men's national team camp. 13 debutants in that for the January friendlies coming up against Serbia and, I believe, Colombia. So there is a lot happening here tonight. And again, we do want you to weigh in at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number to weigh in tonight. All right, so Anthony Hudson is the interim coach of the U.S. men's national team. Has to be a pretty uncomfortable place to be based on this whole Claudio Reyna, Greg Berhalter thing. Let me just say this. It is ugly. And the lengths some go to is pretty ugly. And Anthony Hudson said, look, there is no hiding from the obvious here. Run a 16, the round of 16 at the World Cup. Was that success to you? As a U.S. men's national team fan, was that a success? Did the way they played in the World Cup in the group stages, was that a success to you? There's a lot of ways to look at this. Then there is the whole incident with Gio Reyna and Claudio Reyna, and you have to put Claudio Reyna, really, and his wife, Danielle Reyna, in this thing. To go back to something that occurred 31 years ago when a family's been married for 30 years, and that's low. I'm sorry. I have to say it. I just feel it's low. So anyway, Anthony Hudson now has the team in this period here. And he admitted, he said, you know, there's a sense of sadness over this team right now. He said, quote, it's a shame for everyone who's involved, players, staff, Greg, everyone is affected by it. It's not a nice situation. Then Hudson went on to say that professional sports, adversity, all of this is part of the territory. And it's now up to him right now in this moment with a lot of potential with young players and some veterans in there
to really prepare these guys for Serbia and Colombia, which is on January 25th and 28th. That's coming up. Hudson went on to say, and by the way, Anthony Hudson's been on this show. Very amiable, very nice guy. He was quoted as saying, for these young players, quote, it's been a dream for many of them, so many of us, but mainly the players said. Hudson, who was on Berhalter's staff as an assistant and cutter. They set out with big, lofty ambition, not just to go to the World Cup, to go there and represent themselves in a way that people would sit up and take notice of the team. Andrew Carlson, my producer extraordinaire. Do you think we stood up and took notice of this men's national team in the World Cup?
I thought so. I thought that there was more controversy around the team than there should have been, and that was probably the most frustrating part about it to me is I feel like as a whole, we did rally around them as a nation, but there were so many people who were trying to pick fights when it wasn't really necessary. And I think at the end of the day, the performance against England really, even though it was only
Wait,
a
let
draw,
me back you up. Yeah. Who was picking fights? You mean fans
just,
talking
just fans,
about Gio Reyna
yes,
not playing?
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah. We were,
that's what I thought.
I feel like there were fans and people from the outside, the media, et cetera, who were trying to start arguments that necessarily didn't need to be started.
But listen, there's a lot of detractors to Greg Berhalter. There really
Absolutely,
was.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, I can only say this, and then I'm going to let you carry on. I can only say this. I think a large majority of the players were behind the coach. They played for the coach. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but all we can do is base it on effort, performance, and what's going on. Now, I do think the U.S., and I've said this on this program many times, we have not learned how to maybe pace ourselves over the course of the group stages. We always arrive when we advance and get to the knockout stage in a pretty fatigued state. We had great first 45 minutes in all the three games, but we weren't maybe as deep as we should have been. That's maybe where you can make an argument for Gio Reyna. I think we went into the Dutch game, fatigued with a lot of guys playing a lot of minutes. And by the way, I think the United States, it was on record that they did more running than any team in the group phases. Carry on, Andrew.
No, absolutely. And you're 100% right that there were issues that maybe could have been solved a little bit differently than Greg Berhalter eventually did in that World Cup. But my biggest issue is
the fact and that, I'm not going to let you stop there either, because you have to factor in an ex-national team, Claudio Reyna, and his wife, sadly, which I just don't understand that. I mean, I guess it is that they're so focused on their own son that to create this commotion during the group phases as an ex-national team player, to me, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
It's disturbing to bring something up that's 31 years old. I think the Reyna's reputations have taken a hit. I'm sorry, but I think so. And I'm not saying Greg Berhalter's a perfect angel in all this, but he is the coach. He's allowed to make the decisions, whether we like them or not. He is the coach. I don't know. You tell me different. 713-780-3776. Go on, Andrew.
Yeah, and so for me, what you're 100% right with that, Glenn. But for me, what I would like to see is, okay, yes, you may have some disagreements with things, what have you. But at the end of the day, our national team is then, at that point, over in Qatar. All of those things, they don't matter anymore. Like, you get behind the team and you support them. And the fact that I saw stuff of, you know, I want to see the team perform poorly so I can make sure that Greg Berhalter's out of a job after this World Cup cycle. And I see stuff like that. That's incredibly frustrating
to me. They're clowns. Yeah. They're clowns. They're clowns. That's the unfortunate part of sports at times. All right, we have the esteemed, and I will use the word esteemed. He has not brought up anything about me in the last 31 years. I'm clean. I'm safe. He is John Granato from The Bench in the Morning with Lance Zierlein. John, how are you?
Good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, John?
Great. I just flew in from Oklahoma City. I was 5 hours I sat in the airport waiting for the flight to get in here. I'm so horrible what was happening here today.
Yes.
I'm certainly not going to complain about sitting in an airport all day, but it was a horrible, horrible day here in Houston, as I understand it.
Yeah, Pasadena and Deer Park got ripped by the tornado. I mean, I don't know a lot of the details. I don't want to play weatherman here. I think the good news is we have not heard that anybody perished in this, but you know, it's kind of hard to come on and do radio in the context of what happened down there in Deer Park in Pasadena. And we all have friends down there and people we care about.
Well, I just wanted to chime in. I just don't know, Glenn. I've never seen helicopter parents. I had an athlete, right? In high school, you get to talk to the coaches and you get to know them, but you certainly don't try to interfere at all. You know, they're the bosses and everything else. At the college level, you're out. You're totally out. I can't even imagine at the USA level, USMNT level, that parents would have any part whatsoever. And what Claudio and Danielle did is unacceptable. I don't know how you can have Gio on the team going forward. I just don't know, because it was – I've never seen helicopter parents at this level. Have you?
You know, it was so shocking to me, the level of entitlement to me. And that is really the word here, I think, because Claudio Reyna was a star player, fantastic player for the U.S., but there is an entitled feel around it. To think, you know, because you played with Brian McBride and Ernie Stewart, you can just pick up the phone and complain about your son's playing time. I see a lot of the articles. It just says the wife is the one who, Danielle, who brought this 31-year-old thing with Greg Berhalter when he was 18, probably drank some beer or had some liquor in him. He's been happily married with the same woman and brought this issue up. Look, I, it's just so distasteful to me. And the fact that it happens during the group phases of the World Cup, but it smacks of entitlement. And, you know, that's why everybody has run with, hey, look at the U.S. and look at our entitled youth soccer community, which sometimes gets hammered because of that. And look at our national team program and how it's run. I think the U.S. Soccer Federation may have missed a great opportunity to have come out and said this was unacceptable behavior, but instead, you know, we have a investigation going on. I mean, who needs an investigation? He called you people. I mean, you know. So I wish U.S. Soccer might have taken that opportunity and been a bit bigger and bolder, and maybe shown a little bit more leadership, because it was an opportunity to begin to change the image of U.S. Soccer as well, which has always been known first and foremost as a money making operation. Sadly. And also that there is a lot of nepotism and politics in there. And every federation in the world has that. But it would be nice to lean it in the other direction, wouldn't it, John?
Yeah. Here's the one problem is domestic violence is such a problem. You know, we just had Charles Amenihue yesterday, you know, getting arrested for domestic violence. He's a San Francisco 49, former Texan.
Right.
It's such a problem. So I think that they had to tread lightly. I get it. But that, again, that Danielle and Claudio, and especially Danielle, are not saying, and what they did to their son, I think they ruined his career. If you want to know the truth.
No, I don't think they did. First of all, he's an incredibly talented young man. I hope he is going to learn from this like we all do. I mean, look, I'm 62 years old. I'm still learning in life, right? I'm learning a lot. Okay, maybe more now than I did before because I'm more willing to learn. But, you know, I don't think any coach is going to hold anything against him. Now, I think the next coach that will come in will set a real shield up when it comes to these players and will not want anybody meddling in his business like this has occurred. But I don't for a second want to blame a 19-year-old and have his career ruined, especially a talented one. But I hope he learns too. You know, he scored a great goal this weekend for Dortmund and then, you know, did the whole closed ear thing. I wish he hadn't have done that, because in a way it makes me think he didn't really learn from everything that's,
he hasn't learned anything.
That is going on. I would have loved to have seen him score the goal, run and applaud his teammates, but instead he does the closed ear, I'm not listening. And that tells me something. That really does tell me something. And you know what? We're all images of our parents, by the way. I know that now, as I've aged and gotten older. I know we have the tendencies of our parents. That's the bottom line.
I would tell you this, and I'll leave you at this. I know you're going to hit a break. I would not want him on my team if I'm the coach of the next team. If I'm certainly Berhalter, I wouldn't want him on the team. It'll be so uncomfortable, and whoever is the next coach.
Yeah, but John, Berhalter's done. It's mission accomplished. If the Raiders wanted him out, it's mission accomplished. I believe he's done.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's
mission accomplished. They got their way.
30 years ago, Glenn, and he's been married to this woman, and that is going to take him away. Now, I ask you, there were so many issues with this team. How are so many guys uncovered, that are getting free shots at the goal? I get that. But he took them to the round of 16. Did he deserve to get fired because of that, or did he deserve to get fired because of what the Raiders did?
Well, and I will say this again. One of the best games I've ever seen in the United States men's national team was controlling the game against England, could not find the finish and win the game. But the 0-0 draw was one of the best progressive, controlled games I've ever seen the U.S. play in a World Cup.
And he was in charge. Now,
he has something to do with it, right?
Then again, Belgium happened, though, so...
Oh, you mean the Netherlands?
I mean, sorry, the Netherlands.
Yeah, but that's a whole...
That's the same thing.
Yeah, no. So they got to the round of 16. the Netherlands... Don't tell that to somebody from the Netherlands or Belgium, or you're going to get yourself... Are you traveling to Brussels or Amsterdam near future?
If you think that's the most offensive thing I've ever said, then you don't listen to the show.
That is not true. I listen to the bench all the time in the morning with my coffee. So don't right. You know I do.
Okay.
You know I do.
And you know I'm offensive, so.
I do know that. I'm your number one fan, though. And by
I'll
the
let
way.
Let you go, pal.
All right. Thank you, John. That's always fun when John comes in. Yeah, just sad. I guess really that's the whole situation, sad. We didn't let you finish, Andrew, so when we come back, we'll let you finish your take. We're going to get into Arsenal, Manchester United. We're going to talk about some of the nice young talent that's in this U.S. camp that people are excited about. So we'll switch it to a more positive vein. By the way, Claudio Reyna is the sporting director of Austin FC. I mean, you know? Okay, this is a song. This is a band called The Big Pink. We're going to take a break here. Before we go to break here, though, I just want to remind you about... something here. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren, the best in modern contemporary furniture. They should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. My living room, I got an amazing couch that opens up from there. I got the Stressless line as well. It's the best in modern contemporary furniture presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, danishinspirations.com.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
I'll tell you, just about got through the Trossard. Outside of him is Zinchenko. Zinchenko. Oh, the goal! It's in! Little touch on the line from Nketiah. And right at the death, the leaders have snatched it.
And they are number one in the Premier League. We're going to talk about Nketiah in a minute here. Quick word here, though, for my good friends at Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com. You get your Soccer Matters t-shirts there. All proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients. We do the awareness, the fundraising, and of course, we always mention that this show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. We got some big news coming up about that. We had a $2,500 donation. We really appreciate everything Jerry and Mel Lamont have done, and most importantly, in addition to them, it is you who have bought the t-shirts, both in the Houston area and around the country. So thank you for that. really amazing stuff. I mean, it may seem small in the big scheme of things, but all these little things I think matter. I think just as much as the dollar donation is the awareness we try to create around it, and just the great reminder that people that are fighting pediatric cancer remind us that we're all pretty fortunate. Just like today's incident down in Pasadena and Deer Park. So we're hoping everybody down there is okay. All right, so we welcome you back to the show. That was Eddie Nketiah. That was the game winner in the 3-2 win for Arsenal over Manchester United. This was a big game. This one hurts for those that are deep, deep, deep United or United fans. Like, if you're a deep United, Arsenal fan, Liverpool, and you go way back and you know the history of all these other huge matches, for those people that are maybe older generations, it may just hurt that little bit more, right? Okay, so United gets a great goal from Marcus Rashford. They go up 1-0. This is soundbite number one.
Here is Rashford. Marcus Rashford has rifled it in. That is a smashing goal for Manchester United.
Indeed it was. Nketiah would tie it here for Arsenal 1-1.
Zinchenko. Odegaard. Whipped in front.
All right, so we were all worried about Gabriel Jesus' injury during the World Cup, Andrew. This is your team. We on this show, you and I discussed, okay, this is a big moment for Nketiah. What is Arsenal going to do? Are they going to go out and try to find another striker? Nketiah seems to be living up to it.
Glenn, this offseason they gave him the number 14 shirt, which is, I'm sure you're aware, a very, very sacred number at Arsenal.
Johan Cruyff's number, by the way, too.
It's Thierry Henry's number at Arsenal. And they don't call him King Titi for no reason. Like, yeah. He is far and away the most legendary player to ever don an Arsenal shirt. You don't take that number lightly. And that's the number they gave Eddie Nketiah at the start of the season. They awarded him with a brand new five-year contract, I think, with bonuses going up to £100,000 a week. I think it's typically in the £80,000 a week range. And you don't give that sort of money and that shirt number to someone who you don't believe in. And he's someone who has just an immense, immense self-belief. At every point in his career, he was let go from the Chelsea Academy, I think at the age of 15 or 16, came to Hale Ends, worked his way up through the Arsenal Academy to where he is right now. He's someone who has an immense self-belief. And I think that probably even he himself would be lying to you if he said that he expected it to go as well as it has since Gabriel Jesus went out of the team with the knee injury at the World Cup. But Arsenal have missed Jesus, don't get me wrong, but it has been remarkable at what Eddie has been able to do. And the player that he has worked himself into, Glenn, he used to be solely a inside-the-box poacher. And you saw some of that with his finishes against United on Sunday.
Absolutely.
But he has turned himself into someone who can hold the ball up a little bit.
Complete player.
Oh, absolutely. And can come deep and link up play. And the strides that he has made in that department just speak to someone who has had a relentless drive to continually improve over the last 2 or 3 years after being written off as an Arsenal player at multiple points. 2 years ago, he was on loan in the championship, and there was a lot of consideration, oh, we're going to sell him in a little bit. We're going to sell him in a year.
But this is where we have to begin to believe in Arteta and his staff.
Absolutely.
Because Arteta and his staff is getting a lot out of certain people. And see, these are the stories I love in sports or even in life. The person that, you know, he's lying in wait. He's behind a clear number one. He has to come to training every day. He has to train like a first-team player. He has to believe. I had the same conversation with the goalkeeper for Austin FC on the Austin show last night, Brad Stuver. If you go back and look at Brad Stuver's history, this guy has played limited games his entire career. He's been bounced around. Many a person would have said, I'm going home. I'm done. I'm never going to be a goalkeeper. And now this guy is playing in front of sold-out crowds. He's a fan favorite in Austin after all these years bouncing around. I love these stories because these are stories of perseverance. As you mentioned, the two words, self-belief, which are massive for all of us navigating the planet. And then, of course, patience to get your opportunity and continue to train when nobody's looking and nobody really seems to care about you. These are the things that I love. I love seeing people get these opportunities and take advantage of them. And I'm loving the Eddie and Kedia story, and I'm loving the Brad Stuver story in Austin as well. So it's a 3-2 win, and Kedia gets two. Alessandro Martinez tied it up for United. By the way, had a great game. And United has figured out their center backs with Varon and Martinez. I think Harry Maguire, I mean, he'll play in other competitions and maybe get the odd start here or there, but that seems to be the formula there. I love Lisandro Martinez because he's, you know, he's got a Fabio Cannavaro small body type. You don't see generally smaller center backs, but feisty as heck as an Argentine.
They call him the butcher for a reason, Glenn. He gets after it out there. And I'd be lying. He was a target for Arsenal in the summer. It was Arsenal and United who were vying for his signature. And look, Arsenal ended up with Alexander Zinchenko, who I can't be upset with whatsoever.
Great game, by the way.
Oh, fantastic game. I mean, you want to see a heat
Zinchenko,
map. Yes.
Zinchenko played great. I mean, he was a team of the week guy in the Premier League for me.
I mean, he plays the left-back position probably unlike anybody else in the entire world. But look, Lisandro Martinez is an incredible center back. And as you mentioned, Glenn, someone who gets his head stuck in. I mean, the header that he had for the tying goal in that game, that's the sort of thing where, you know, he could almost get decapitated by someone trying to clear the ball. That's the sort of area that he stuck his head into where there are just feet.
Oh, he'll put his head
around
in areas others won't go. No, I don't think there's any question. By the way, 713-780-3776. If you got some comments on everything we're talking about here, we're talking about the U.S. national team. Right now we're on Arsenal and Manchester United. All right, let's go to soundbite number 7, Arteta, summing up a fantastic match, a fantastic win.
Emotional, a lot of passion, a lot of quality. It doesn't get much better than that. After the Derby away, to come here against this team and play the way we played against, the performance that we had all over the game, and especially in the second half, it was incredible. And to win it in that way, it just makes it even better.
Composure, he spoke about, and he was not necessarily composed the entire game on the sideline, but we love the passion, Mikel Arteta. He said composure is what got him over the line.
I think mentally and emotionally we were really composed, but really determined at the same time. And we managed those moments in the game really well. We never panicked. We kept believing. We kept doing the same things, even better than before. And we always believed that at the end we could win it.
These qualities are so important, right? In the intensity and the just amazing intensity of this level of football, to remain composed, clear-headed, solve problems, see things. I don't think we appreciate it out here. I think it's maybe hard. The pro game has gotten so fast from a thinking standpoint, from an athletic standpoint. It really is remarkable the pressure and the environment set people have to think about and play. And Jeff Cameron, we can ask him about that a little bit later because he played in the Premier League with Stoke. All right. Now, conversely, Erik ten Hag. Let's talk about this. So I saw a really funny thing where, you know, Marcus Rashford put out, and a lot of players now on Twitter now, hey, let's stay together. You know, we gave it our best. And, you know, it's almost like it just comes out immediately, right? And, you know, sometimes I feel like, and I don't do this, but I would feel like writing back, hey, you know, let us suffer for a little bit. Let us be in pain before, you know, let us process this a little bit before we move right away and say everything's okay and, you know, we love each other. And, you know, this is sports. This is competition. It hurts to lose, and it should hurt to lose. So Erik ten Hag then, unbeknownst to Marcus Rashford, had come out earlier and was very critical of United, their effort, their energy, the mistakes that they made. He didn't feel they lived up to the moment. And you know what I say to that, Andrew Carlson, and anybody listening tonight? Now that is coaching. That is man management. That is what I want to hear from the Manchester United coach after a 3-2 loss. That is beautiful. Here's ETH, too many mistakes.
Oh, that is, I think, too much to talk about. But it was like a pack of cards with the goals we concede, and two starting with a corner. And then we make mistakes. We didn't show the discipline in the rules we have there. And then you concede goals.
Now, these are two of my favorite managers because of what they're doing to turn these teams around. And believe me, these teams have been in a flatline for a long time. And a lot of people have had a shot at turning it around. And that's before we get into talking how much resources have been spent, things like that. So here's Erik ten Hag. And again, this to me is coaching. This is managing your players. This is your expectations. This is ETH, Erik ten Hag on excuses.
I said before, the team who wants the most will win today. And they were obviously, and of course, we had a game in a week and we had some disadvantages, but excuses are not possible on top level. You have to be in the reality, and the reality is that we have to perform. And on some occasions, we didn't do, and otherwise we would win this game. Or at minimum, we should have drawn this game.
Now, let's not forget, they had a big loss in Casemiro, who's one of the best holding midfielders in the Premier League, I think, already, in my opinion, along with Thomas Partey. So you had. I wanted to see those two sixes on the field, Andrew. I wanted to see both of them operate so that I could singularly look at each one and how they operated and ran their midfields.
Yeah, both of them occupy, I think, almost unique responsibilities in terms of the positions that they control across the entire scope of world football. I mean, what you are asked to do as a single six in the Premier League, I think you can throw Rodri into that discussion as well at Manchester City, but all three of those guys interchangeably are the best holding midfielders in the Premier League, top five in the world, and what they are asked to do from their teams is just such a ridiculous, ridiculous ask of a single player. And I think you're right. It would have been a lot of fun to see that matchup between the two of them on Sunday. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get to see it unless the teams match up in the Europa League this year.
By the way, some will say that's the most important position in football now, the six. So Arsenal, you know, to the point of development and Nketiah, let's throw Odegaard in there, right? Let's throw Thomas Partey in there. What Arteta has done for these guys and Arteta's staff. I thought Anthony struggled. I saw some people gave him a 7.5. I thought he struggled for United. Grady did tricks and flicks in his own half of the field, but he wasn't getting past anybody, Anthony, for Manchester United. Yeah, it was a great game, though. It was a great watch. I got up for it. All right, we got a lot to go here. I do want to quickly jump something in here before we are heading to break. Christian Pulisic to AC Milan, there's some talk about that. He's out for another month. It seems like with Mikhailo Mudryk coming to Chelsea that the writing may be on the wall. I think this would be a great move for him. I'd love to see him go to Milan. Milan are the champions of Italy currently. Speaking of Italy, I guess Juventus doesn't know how to learn lessons. They got docked 15 points. They're basically out of it. They're, you know, are they going to get into the Champions League now? I mean, this is a nightmare. I don't know how you don't learn. Had to do with accounting and player acquisitions and things. Houston Dash preseason have invited in two very good college players that I've had the opportunity to watch a lot. Shailen Hubbard of TCU and then Texas's goalkeeper Savannah Madden under the new coach Sam Laettee. All right, we're taking a break here. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the one and only Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big, big thank you to John and his firm for being the presenting sponsor of this show. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, handle your case. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You work in a refinery, drive an 18-wheeler. You need the Daspit Law Firm. Lots of personal injury attorneys around town and firms. None better. Daspit Law Firm, they'll handle your case 24-7, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. All right, stay with us. Phone lines open, 713-780-3776.
ESPN.
97.5. You
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, Little Patagonia, Empanadas and Cafe. Notice I am my great friends Sebastian and Julian at Little Patagonia. They were giving me a hard time because I was not pronouncing it. It is Empanadas. Little Patagonia, Empanadas and Cafe. Okay, so they've got everything. Pork, spinach, spicy chicken, spicy beef. I'll tell you, the one I really love is Roquefort. Roquefort cheese and sauteed onions. Unbelievable. I love the lamb. Ground lamb, sauteed onions. Spicy Texas brisket and Texas brisket. And then if you got a sweet tooth and you want a nice thick dark coffee, Argentine style, you can do strawberries and Nutella, banana and Nutella. I like the guava and the guava and cheese. So it's Little Patagonia's Empanadas and Cafe. It's 5393 Westheimer. It's right near the studio here. Andrew's had them. I think a lot of people have been going over there from the station. They are excellent. Little Patagonia Empanadas and Cafe. Thanks. And by the way, they were watching a lot of the Argentina games over there and having a great, great time. Just like we are on the radio tonight, shout out to my friend John Polis, who's in Colorado. John worked on the World Cup with me. I just got a note here that he's tuning in tonight. So, John, a great man and a great guy. And thanks for tuning in tonight. A big soccer man, has worked with U.S. soccer in the past as well. So maybe he doesn't like my U.S. soccer comments tonight. I hope he does. John, don't be mad at me. I'm a friendly guy. All right. Again, we're thinking of the people down in Pasadena and Deer Park. We welcome you back to the show. I think we should dip in a little bit to, by the way, Feyenoord and Ajax, which is, you know, we don't talk about the Dutch Eredivisie too much on this show. We should probably do more. There is some great soccer over there, as we know, with the Dutch and Feyenoord and Ajax. You know, this is a massive rivalry that goes way, way back. They played to a 1-1 draw this weekend. I wanted to mention that. I'm curious if anybody watched that game, but here's the tying goal from Ajax's Davy Klaassen to make it 1-1.
Klaassen finding Tadic, taking on Hartman. In by Dusan Tadic, Bergvall going for the spectacular. Klaassen and in, off the defender on the line, and Ajax have levelled it. And it's Davy Klaassen who wheels away, having silenced the Kuip.
Ajax had 57% of the possession in that game. Feyenoord is unbeaten in the last five. They're at the top of the table in the Eredivisie. Ajax is in fifth place. By the way, five straight draws. So they're having a hard time winning games. I don't know if you saw the City-Tottenham game, where City was down 2-0 and came back and decided to play in the second half and absolutely ripped apart Spurs. And scored four goals. Pep Guardiola reacted in a very, very upset way. Just listen to this soundbite number 20 from Pep.
I want the passion from Julian. I want the passion from Rico. I want the passion from Nathan. I want this every ball to happen. So it's something. It's a 1-0 free kick. Rico and Manu. All the players are from. Nine players, you know, to Manu, one ball. And they play short. You have to read that. They come from the manager, has to tell them this. You think I said something tactically or whatever in the halftime? But why should change? We were playing good. But it doesn't matter, the substitutions. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about that we don't have it. Right now, we don't have it.
Man. Now, how many times have we come on this show and talked about over the years? It's amazing how Man City can keep coming back and remain hungry. Certainly, they have to be hungry in the Champions League because they haven't won it. But in the Premier League, to win it so consistently over and over and to be at your best, to get the best from opponents, we talk about it all the time. This is an admission from Pep Guardiola that they're struggling a little bit in that department. So here he is on fighting complacency, soundbite number 21.
This is a challenge. I want it. I expect that. I see the team do it, but there is details. It's not about the way we play, the quality of the players. Are you going to judge the quality of the players? I love them. They are fantastic players, all of them. They do it, but there are the details. It comes from the success we had in the past. We have to admit it. We had a lot of success. People say, no, it's not a success because we don't win the Champions League. Bullshit. We won a lot. In this country, two bags to bags, and the way we played, the consistency against this Liverpool, what a success. That is normal. But we have to look ourselves. It's not enough. You say, yeah, it's okay. No, come on. I said to Erling, runners. You cannot drop because runners. One runner in the half time. One. Your quality is there. That's why you bought it. I want to help you. Quality is go there. One. I want more. I score 25 goals. I want to score 50. I want more. For everyone.
He wants more from Haaland. He got more because Haaland hit for a hat trick on the weekend and a 3-0 win over Wolves. He now has 25. He's already broken last year's record held by Salah. Who else had? I think Salah had 24 last year.
Salah had 24. I think Heung-min Son might have been on 24 or 23. It was very close on around there.
Unbelievable. So Guardiola then went on, and we're not going to play the sound, but he then went on to say, not only do I want a reaction from the team, I want it from the entire organization. And I think all of us on the outside again, and I'll use an example that's local here, the Houston Dynamo. To turn it around, it has to be an organization that turns it around. It just can't be the front office part. It just can't be the competitive part. It has to be everybody rowing and pulling the oars in the same direction. This is not an easy thing to do. So I thought that was fascinating, and that's great sound that Andrew Carlson pulled for us. Okay, so remember we were talking about Gio Reyna scoring, and we were hoping that, you know, we wish he would have just remained humble after the goal instead of closing the ears and throwing a little bit of gasoline on the fire. It was a great goal. Here's what it sounded like. Borussia Dortmund got the 4-3 win over Augsburg.
Now at the other end, Reyna, and oh! Goodness gracious me! Gio Reyna right out of the top drawer. Well, that is how to answer the critics. That is how to make a statement.
See, I don't agree with that. You're not answering critics. Nobody's criticizing Gio Reyna for not being a talented, exceptionally gifted soccer player. Nobody's criticizing him for that. I find that really funny that everybody says, oh, you know, it's answering the critics. No, it's not. Nobody, the critics don't like the fact that there's a level of entitlement. That's all. That's all. And they don't like the way it happened with the U.S. national team. This kind of stuff would never occur with Harry Kane and an England national team, because you'd be banned from ever playing for him again. And I hope that we grow up as a soccer federation down the road and in the future, and in the way we keep our national team sacred. You can say what you want about England. They make being on the English national team, that is a sacred thing. And I know a lot of the old U.S. players, and I know the current ones do take it as very sacred. I talk to them all the time. I've worked with them. The Miolas of the world, I know it's sacred to these guys. No question. But we have to show more, I think. And, you know, I mean, look at England. I mean, what it means to be the captain of the English national team. It's incredible. By the way, Tyler Adams, excellent for Leeds this weekend. I think he's getting a little bit of stick from people sometimes. He's ultra consistent. Leeds doesn't have a goal scorer, but he's ultra consistent. I think what maybe we all want is to see him jump into the attack on occasions, maybe once, twice, three times a game, to bring a little bit of an element of surprise. By the way, he did that on one really, really good passage of play that started in the Leeds half of the field. It also included Brendan Aaronson. And they didn't ultimately get the end product, but he was a big part of it because played a 1-2. He got forward. He got the ball back. He kept it moving. He kept going forward. So maybe that's something people are going to want to see a little bit more from him. All right, U.S. Men's National Team Camp. It's a 24-man roster, only two players from Europe. Those are guys that are starting their careers in Europe. It's the highly touted goalkeeper, Gabriel Slonina, who went on a $10 million transfer fee to Chelsea, and then Paxton Arison, who's starting with Eintracht Frankfurt. Five on the roster were in the Qatar World Cup. Now, the intrigue, I think, is lying around a number of sort of newer faces, some that people are being introduced to. Of course, everybody knows about Brandon Vazquez, scoring goals for Cincinnati last year, didn't get a pick. He's got like a 6'2" kind of Premier League type of frame. He's made it very clear that he wants to score goals and he wants to end up playing in Europe in a league. Here he is, Brandon Vazquez, not concerned about securing the number 9 spot during this camp for the
U.S.
You
know, for me, I don't really have that in the back of my mind. The only thing that I'm focused on right now is doing my best for the team, helping the team win, and scoring as many goals as possible. I think if I step onto the field and do my job there, then the rest will come.
Scores goals in the air also, by the way. So he's 24 years old, 19 goals last year for FC Cincinnati. Alejandro Zendejas is another one that everybody's very hot on right now. Club America had a crazy goal this past weekend. He's another one of these dual citizenship stories that seem to be very, occur a lot here in the United States with Mexican-Americans. He actually played for Mexico, made a switch, played a lot of youth U.S. national team stuff, I think 30 times for U.S. youth teams, then made two appearances for Mexico. Now he's making the switch back to the U.S. 22 appearances, 8 goals for Club America. He does draw free kicks. I think that is a part of his game. I think that people like in good areas. Emmanuel Sabi is a player from Odense in the Danish Super League. Alan Senora. If you remember, his father played for the Dallas Burn in Major League Soccer, Diego. He's 24, looking for a club, may end up in Major League Soccer. I think that's his desired destination. Aiden Morris is one we all know from Major League Soccer, playing in Columbus. John Tolkien is a rising guy at the New York Red Bulls. Left back, who I believe is from the same town I'm from, Chatham, New Jersey. So put a few people in the pros from my town. Dan Kanter, rest in peace, my teammate growing up, youth soccer, played for the Cosmos. Julian Gressel, Roman Celentano. All right. And go back to the 80s for electronic music in Africa. This is Francis Bebe. This is the Coffee Cola song. It's a very, very cool song. We'll let you listen to this as we go to break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to bring on Jeff Cameron for about 12 to 14 minutes. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It is always brought to you by the legendary John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
But if you could go and see how they live, a shame. Then you'd discover how savage they are, so much wilder than we.
ESPN 97.5.